Hi, everyone. Welcome to Collectors of Power podcast. I'm your host, Bobby, and here we are, our first episode, ScalperCon. Can't believe it. But first, before we get into that, let's say please hit like, subscribe, ring the bell for our notifications. And yeah, here we go. I can't believe it. It's been a while. We've been planning this for a very long time, a couple months, I believe. And we finally got things set up and ready to go. So I want to introduce our cast of characters. First, we got Ryan. And then we go over to Bob.
Hello.
And last but not least, we have Rhino.
Hello, everyone.
All right, guys. We just finished San Diego Comic-Con. We're recording this on a Sunday. And we've heard
first of all, how many are sad that we were not at San Diego Comic-Con this year? I know I was.
I had tickets a couple years ago. It was for my son's graduation gift, and then COVID hit, so we got canceled 2 years in a row. So yeah, it's a bummer.
But I would like to thank the people on Instagram though that live streamed it for us though. That was fantastic.
Yes, that was perfect. And I was able to get out a lot of news pretty quickly on Twitter for them to be able to see what was happening, because you know how information goes, it goes really quick. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. But it was also crazy. It was a crazy few days.
But my wallet does not like me after this weekend.
But yeah, we've heard some crazy news, we heard some good news, but we heard some, I don't know, terrible news, I guess you can say, especially about Grizzlor. It is, I don't understand that, why he's becoming an exclusive again. We already had the variant as an exclusive, and it's just... I don't know. I've seen a lot of people upset about it. I'm upset about it. It's, I don't know. It's weird. What do you guys think?
Well, first, I do want to throw my two cents in. Eternia. I never, ever, ever thought that would be an option. I never thought we would even see one in person, much less get to purchase one. So I do want to say holy cow to that. As far as Grizzlor, though, it's kind of baffling for me how we are still in this age where so many other toy companies have figured out how to get product out to customers. And, you know, for me, when I was a kid, the excitement was going into a store and picking it up off a shelf. So this whole be logged in at a very specific time and have your credit card loaded and have the page refreshing and try to get as many people as you can to try to buy one for you because you might not be able to get it. It's just baffling. It's a baffling way to me to try to sell these toys. And especially when it's such a core character as Grizzlor, I get it when it's, you know, something really strange out there, repaint something on that. But this character just, it baffles me that I'm not going to be able to just walk into a store and pick this off the shelf. I just don't.
Well, I mean, like you said, though, with distribution, you can't really walk into an indie store and pick anything up right now other than the stuff that's been on there for, you know, the last year. So, yeah, you know.
And get your buzz off if you want, but that's about it.
I got Jitsu and whoever else over here. I just got the new Beastman. For the first time, like everybody, you all three got it way before I did. And I was like, I literally saw it for the first time this weekend. And they were so funny because in where I live, it was like one at the top of the city and one at the very bottom of the city. But none of the ones around the Targets around had it. So, but you know, it's so funny because I was talking and, you know, with my husband here, and we were saying it's so weird. I mean, for those, you know, who don't know, I do work in marketing and I work with marketing automation platforms and, you know, that kind of stuff. But why a company, whether that's Mattel or, you know, NECA or whoever, like to me goes and say, hey, we only want to sell X amount of product and then see the scalpers get it and then turn around and sell it on eBay for 3, 4, 5 times as much when they could have said, hey, we could have sold an extra 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 of these, and we could have made that money. I get the exclusivity of it, but at the same time, you're running into this wall of your company is now not making that money and somebody else is. So it's such a weird concept to me, because being in the marketing world that I am, like, your goal as a company is to sell as much profit stuff as you can to make a profit. And I mean, I've seen YouTube videos, you know, where they talk about like how much it costs to make the mold for, you know, the figures. Now, again, with Origins, they're using the same body type for like 80% of the figures. You know, maybe it's the small things, but, you know, in the case of like Wundar, like, okay, so the vest is a little bit different. Well, you know, they have Zodak. All it really is a color ship. So they're not really having to recreate that mold. But even if they did, and it's for an exclusive, you know, I think it's what, 100,000, somebody said on YouTube or whatever, but like, it's $100,000. Like, you want to make that to fix that, but then you need to sell more to now have profit to offset that cost. So we live in a pre-order society anymore, you know, and it's really, really sad. I think I tweeted tonight, like, told somebody, I said, I don't even know how much stuff I have on pre-order, but if I saw and added it up, I'd probably cancel all my pre-orders.
Yeah, but the part of the problem, though, is just allowing people to order five at a time, though. You know, if those of us that are really, you know, that missed out, especially like on the Wundar and stuff, you know, if they allow one or two, it'd be great. But when you allow five, all of a sudden it's gone like that. When they, you know, I don't know how many they actually sold, but, you know, you look online, you see people that ended up with six, and we're still not quite sure how that happened.
Yeah, they probably had more than that as well. But what got me was Koldar. I know Koldar is not that big of a character, because he's very, if you don't know Filmation cartoons deep, you know, you might not remember that character. But that lasted at least, what, 15 minutes, I think, for pre-order or something like that. So I was like, okay, well, Wundar is going to be about the same. I think maybe they fixed it, you know, with the caption and all that stuff on there. But man, that thing went within, what, 30 seconds, and that was gone. And that was, but then what was really upsetting was what I was seeing on Instagram was that people in other countries were already getting them shipped in store and buying them in store. So
yeah, and then you get the people that get the email that said it was going to be delayed till next year, and then all of a sudden they have them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a bad, I don't know why that clicks in like that, but that email thing gets everybody all nervous. Like, they're going to lose that pre-order they just fought for to get. So I don't know if that's just a glitch or what it is, or they just change a date and then they warn you. I guess it was supposed to come out.
How far did you guys get through the process? Did you guys get, like, did you guys do the cap, you know, all the way through to the cart? Well, or how
I made sure I was logged in, and so, like, you know, 10 minutes before I was logged in, and it literally, as soon as it was up, I hit refresh and it said sold out. It was gone. Like, I refresh for, like, I didn't even see an add to cart button. And I mean, that was the 30 seconds, if that, you know. So, and, you know, again, I had iPad, my phone, you know, everything up, and I was like, and like, it all said the same thing.
Yeah, same. I didn't get very far at all. I don't think I got to the captcha, and it was sold out.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was traveling at the time, so I was really hoping you guys were going to be able to pick it up for me. And luckily, you guys were trying for me. But I, you know, I still had it on my phone, refreshing it every so often. And I'm, you know, just then and got there and gone. So
actually, Bob, we got them. We're just not telling you. And
we're just... yeah, right. How, though,
not a pre-order.
Yeah,
that's the part that baffles me, is how, with every other company doing pre-orders, how are these toys not pre-ordered?
Well, I mean, it's an exclusive, but it's a website exclusive. I understand, like, San Diego Comic-Con exclusives, that I can understand that there's limited amount. And those are special, like the guy says from Mattel, you know, he wants to make them special. But at the same time, when my opinion is, if it's going to be released on a website as a website exclusive, you should still have a chance to be able to get it. I don't care about the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives or PowerCon exclusives. I completely understand there's a limit to those. That makes it an exclusive. But if it's website, I like what the other company, like Mego, did, where they timed it, or like Mondo does, where they'll time it for 24 hours or 48 hours. It's still an exclusive because it's within that period of time, But at the same time, once that ends, it's done. You can't get any more. So it's not mass produced. So that to me is still an exclusive.
What's the time frame that those actually get shipped out? Anybody know? As far as like the Mondo stuff?
Mondo, I don't know. I know you can buy it on the plan. I've never bought from Mondo before. So I don't know the whole scale time that it has.
I'll see when it ships. I ordered the last He-Man, so I'll see when it ships. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Usually they'll have a date of when it's supposed to be released.
Because that'd be my biggest concern is the time frame. But even with Mattel, though, you pre-order some of this stuff and it doesn't come for 6-7 months. How long did it take to get the PowerCon stuff from last year?
That was due to the virus and the shipping. So I mean, like the Mondo, the He-Man, the new one they just released with all the other stuff, Thunder Punch and stuff, like it ships in February. So I mean, you know, that's what, 8-9 months out. So I mean, regardless, I mean, even if you have something like that, I mean, like I could have swore on my life that Wondar said it doesn't ship until summer of 2023. So I misread that. And like when people started posting, I'm like, how the hell are they getting them now? But like, I think even if it's we talked about 24 hour, you know, even if it's an hour, even if it's 2 hours, even if it's half a day, like get it. I would much rather wait. I don't care. If I know I'm going to get it, then that's fine. But like with these time things, we need to like whatever these companies need to do to like make sure people get it. Because I on Twitter, on wherever, I just see people are like, you know, once, you know, I'm going to stop collecting after this and I'm not going to get Snake Man. And I think I saw somebody say like, oh, isn't that funny? That's when I stopped collecting back when I was a kid. And, you know, maybe one thing to think about is like, instead of doing it as, you know, if we can't buy them ourselves, you know, I mean, like, you know, like Funko does, like they have chases. They're one in every case. Start doing it that way. Like, I'll go out and hunt in the store every day. And then it's like, if I don't get it, then, you know, that's my own fault. But, you know, like just selling out everything to other people who don't even care about it and they want to make a quick buck. And that's what people have done, you know, due to this pandemic, is they think they can make a quick buck and make a life selling toys for $30 more than they paid for them, you know. It just drives me nuts.
You know, the hard part though is people are also going to the stores and doing that too. I mean, you know, we go in and we see people just with cartfuls of stuff just wheeling out. You know, they're talking to everybody that's stocking the shelves, trying to figure out when things are getting stocked right away. And granted, we do that too, but that's just because we're trying to buy them for ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
You see those people that are, you know, obviously scalping them. So it's hard. They do it online, but they're also doing it in person. Granted, I'd still rather go into the store too and buy the toys. But
that's what was fun about hearing about Origins and Beginning was, you know, hey, I can finally go back into a store and actually see it, old style looking Masters of the Universe. You know, it was just the nice card, the figure in it. You know, it's all nostalgia anyway. But I thought it would be easy. I mean, they even said it in the beginning. There's going to be enough product for everybody. And there's no waves coming out of... I haven't seen Anti-Eternia. I haven't even seen Sunman. And they said it was supposed to be out in March. I haven't seen them in the store at all. You know, and it's just like you said. It was just Jitsu and Buzz Off all I see for a long time.
Yeah, and it seems like it's every other wave that comes out and hits the store.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. Because we didn't, you know, most of us, you know, went and actually picked up He-Man, picked up the first wave, and granted, the He-Mans and Skeletor sat there forever because there was like 20 in every box, you know. But after that wave two, I don't think any of us saw them in the store, did we?
Nope. And that makes me mad because you had two of them I wanted. One was Trapjaw. I wanted to get the two of him. One I can open, and one I can save on card. Same with Scareglow. Two, and then you had Orko. I mean, how many those three characters, just those three, were the main characters that people would probably buy tons of them, and you couldn't find them. And I was shocked, completely shocked that you couldn't.
Yeah, and thank goodness for the, you know, all of our community and stuff on Twitter, because we were all communicating with each other, trying to figure out where to find these things, even online.
Right.
You know, when they were going to go on sale, because they were coming off sale on Amazon quickly, you know. You wait 5 minutes and they were sold out.
That's being generous, like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I am thankful that we have a good community of people that are looking out for each other and trying to get the product in each other's hands at retail cost, plus, you know, the shipping. So I am appreciative of that. I'm very thankful that we do have that fandom helping each other out.
So I just want to talk a little bit more about Grizzler. There was a petition going around online trying to get him be able to be mass produced, I believe is what it is, not as an exclusive or more available. Why do you guys think that exclusive, why is he an exclusive again for one? I don't understand that. What do you
think? My reasoning is, my guess is the cost of making them as far as the fur. You know, that's the only thing that I can really figure.
Yeah. But popularity. Popularity and cost.
Yeah, but popularity wouldn't make it an exclusive. I think I'm with Bob on that one too, is I think it, since it doesn't use the standard body mold. I got the 4-pack from PowerCon. So I just put it away. I need to see what kind of body it is, because I know the old one was, you know, it was like a square box and they just glued it on. But I think it's the material, the cost and the time to make it. It's not as easy as it is just to, you know, injection mold a body of He-Man into it.
I mean, what this tells me, though, is that eventually when we hopefully get Moss Man, he's probably going to be the same way. It's going to be an exclusive.
Yeah, that's see, I'm not a businessman anyway, but I don't understand, because they say they know the fan base. They say, I mean, everybody knows that Grizzlor is popular. Why making it an exclusive? It's not a special figure. It's not like CamelCon. I can understand CamelCon being exclusive on Mattel Creations because it's a different version of the original, and it was like an obscured figure from Brazil, I believe. But making a core character an exclusive, it's going to sell out, because now the scalpers know that everybody wants this Grizzlor. This is going to be a tough one to get, in my opinion, unless they. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I really don't. What do you think?
The other thing that's weird, though, is that there's nothing really else that makes it special aside from his, you know, Grizzly. It doesn't look like there's a special like trifold comic book like with the CamoCon or with the exclusive Sunman. It's just a regular figure that you'd find in the store. They're just selling it this way.
Yeah.
And if it's a cost issue, why would you not do pre-orders then? Because you're going to be able to meet the demand precisely. So if you pre-sell 20,000-30,000 of them, or how many, I'm just throwing out random numbers, I have no idea, but then that's what you're going to make.
I think Grizzlor would be a good timed one just for that. If it is the fur that they're having a problem with, or not a problem with, but the cost, then they should have a timed one. So then they know exactly how many they produce, and if it comes 7-8 months later, who cares? You still get it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, because if it's, you want to be able to meet demand, and if you do a limited run and you only make X number, and the majority of us can't get it, then you've missed out on money that you could have made by having enough product. But if you're afraid, oh my gosh, we're going to make too many, they're going to set on shelves like alternate paint color Stratos, well, then you just pre-order it and you make them to order. I don't understand what the big deal is, to be honest.
Well, but even if it sits on the shelves, it doesn't matter. Like, Mattel doesn't have a return policy for, you know, the retailers. If a retailer buys 6 cases and it doesn't sell 6 cases, they either clearance them or whatever to get rid of them. Like, Mattel has their money, and that's like with all of this stuff. Like, again, you know, we're talking with my husband, like, they don't care who buys the 1,000 or 10,000 that they made, scalpers or not, you know. Don't even get me started on this live bot report thing that they said that they get, because, like, no, like, again, I'm talking with my husband. He's very, very tech savvy, and, you know, I know a little bit. Like, there's no, you're going to get a list of IP addresses that were blocked, maybe. But again, that may be because I'm logged in on my iPhone, my iPad, my computer, because I'm trying to get in, and you may think I'm a bot. bots aren't doing that. Bots are using 47 different IP addresses to buy what they want. So you're not really blocking bots. You're actually blocking people who probably needed or want to buy this product and not pay scalper prices. So so again, kind of saying if, you know, they, you know, put it on the shelves and don't sell it, that's kind of a moot point. But I think, you know, I don't know. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but again, it's, you know, like they're just not printing money, and then that's what it is. If they know that they have a fan base of 40th anniversary of He-Man, that people enjoy this, they know people are buying this product, they interact with people on Twitter, they see this, like, it's not going to be like, you know, they're not going to go to their COO and go, well, we're only going to make 100 of these because super awesome. Like, I don't get where this mentality comes from. I'm sure somebody's gonna, you know, comment and be like, oh, this is why, blah, blah, blah. Great. And then educate me, because I think the four of us old men don't understand it enough to know why a company is not saying, let's produce enough to make enough money.
You know, my biggest worry with them doing it this way, though, is after the Wondar, you know, fiascos, if this happens again and keeps happening like it already is, you know, it's going to burn everybody out and people are going to stop buying the stuff. And then that's going to just lead to them discontinuing things again. And we're not going to end up seeing some of the figures that we want to yeah, see. And it's going to, you know,
that's the big problem is it does discourage everybody. And I mean, it's just like before, you know, like trying to get those exclusive on that site it's tough. So when you're, not getting something, people are like, you know, I know collectors want to be completists. I used to be that way, but it's exclusives to me is if I miss it, I miss it. It's an exclusive, you know, especially like the San Diego Comic-Con, like the Skeletor He-Man 40th pack. I knew that was going to sell out quick because they made so many for the con itself. And then they're going to put some on Mattel Creations. They're only a limited amount that's going to be on. It's not just everybody's going to Mattel Creations and that's it. You have the con and then you have the site. So I can understand that. I wasn't too upset with that one. But the Wondar thing is it's just a website exclusive. You should be able to almost try to be able to get it without it selling out in 30 seconds, for crying out loud. So it makes me wonder how many they made. And when they say they know the fan base, they should know how popular that character is because it's just another version of He-Man, but, you know, He-Man's it.
It's He-Man with hair. How do you not have that He-Man with brown hair?
Right.
Well, they should have the numbers, too, of, like, how many of us are actually out there buying this stuff.
Well, right they now. Do. Oh, I'm sure they do. You know, and it's like you could see on that interview that he was happy that it sold out fast. Because he's like, hey, we got it out. We don't have it sitting around, you know. But at the same time, I don't understand the reasoning of that. That I don't get that part of it. I don't know.
You know, and again, I don't understand the number part of it, though. Like, I can understand buying two, maybe three, because, like, you know, we've all said we've all helped each other out by picking one up or something. But, like, why five?
Yeah, I don't know. I can, you know, like if I had more money, I would probably get two of each. One I can open, one I can keep on card. That's just how I am with the new stuff. A lot of stuff I have open, as you can see, but it's all my vintage is open. But the new stuff I was trying to get on card.
They probably made as many Wondars as people who actually sent off for them back in the day. So, like, the eight people that have them.
Yeah, like, right? Yeah, that's the big joke, you know? That's the big joke. It's weird. But what's really frustrating, I mean, we're not touching on the big thing, is the bots, really, mm-hmm. and the scalpers. It's sickening to me that you can get a figure for, you know, $18 plus shipping or whatever it is and sell it for $150 or whatever they're doing because they know everybody's upset and they want to get it. You know, like I said, with the completest thing. But I wish there was a way to stop that. I wish people didn't have to feel they have to have everything to be a collector, you know. I'm a collector. I've been collecting almost my whole life. I don't have everything, but if 10 years from now, I'm not going to even be thinking about Wundar anymore. It's just, it's the heat of the moment, you know, and that's what these scalpers are doing. Is they know that they're going to charge as much as they possibly can, because I've seen it, you know, they don't even have it in stock yet, of course, but they already have three sold and they're like, you know, $200 a piece. I'm like, that's insane. Why is someone spending $200 on a $18 figure? You know, it's craziness.
Yeah. And I'm glad that some of the fans that we talk with and stuff online actually did get some of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that was, but it's maddening though, like going on eBay and stuff, like doing my research before, you know, preparing for this, like, you know, you see those posts where people have six, people are selling all three or five that they got, you know, and it's just, you know, so many of them, you know, it'd be one thing if it was like one or two or three people, you know, selling it, but it's right. not. I mean, it's a shit ton of people. So
I wish there was a way to track, like, those people who say pre-ordered confirmed, like, and then like Mattel, like, track who those people are and like cancel all of those pre-orders and then be like, oh, you already took their money, you gotta give it back.
Yeah, I know NECA did that too. They would they had a limit, and if they found that you ordered more, like say you went in and ordered and you ordered again or whatever it is, or it's all going to the same email address, they stopped that. I've seen them before do that. Because I was,
well, Bobby, you know, how many email addresses have you created on Gmail? I think I have like 15, you know, so yeah, you right. could use it how different every different email address, like, you know, there's a place that I buy stuff from that a new email address nets me 15%. So I just create a new email address and place another order.
Well, when we were starting up this podcast, you know, we had how many, what, three names? And then I created all those names so no one would take them right away. I got panicky, and then all of a sudden they got canceled on me. I couldn't even use it. And I explained to them why I did it, and they're like, nope, you didn't, you gotta, it's gone. You can't be activated again. I'm like, crap. So that's why it was taking us a little longer to get this all set up, because we had to set up because my YouTube was getting canceled. It was the same thing. It was both channels, and I lost both of them. So this time I played it safe. But yeah. It's
I don't think Mattel likes the scalpers, because, you know, the majority of us buy, you know, I'd say 1.5 figures. Some of us buy two, one to just keep in package, one to open. A lot of people just buy one because they're either going to do one or the other. But, you know, Mattel's like, hey, we've got this customer that's buying five of these at a time. So I think for them, they like it because it, you know, it looks good to the shareholders when they say, hey, we released this new product. It sold out in 37 seconds, you know. I think they like the scalpers buying, you know, so many as they can possibly get a hold of.
Well, and that's what I said earlier. Like, they don't care who buys it. Like, right. they're not looking at this report going, oh, Bob bought this many, you know. Like, they don't care. Like, they made 10,000. They sold 10,000. That's all they care about, you know. It's right. At the end of the day, the brass tacks is sell what we've made, because again, clearly they're not 6 months out because people have them in hand now. But again, why you guys, you know, print that money. That's what I kept telling them. It's like, print that money. You could print literally your own money by making whatever it is, and do the pre-release and be like, hey, we're selling this many, and then in 6 months say, hey, we're going to open it up, whatever, or something like that. I don't know the right or wrong way to this. I'm at the point where everything, I mean, I collect, you guys know me, I freaking collect everything. I've got Funkos, I've got superheroes, McFarlane. I mean, I'm all over the place, and it's the same way. I mean, they released these Funko Fun Day boxes. They were, you know, limited of some of like 1500 and whatever. And like, literally, the people got them, and they were selling the limited ones for like $1,500 for this one in 1,500 figure. And it's like, that's just crazy. And now it's been, you know, a week since people have got them, and prices have come down. Even like the ones that were selling for like $300 to $500 are now like $100 to $200. But again, it's this fear of FOMO. You know, I mean, you need it. I see it. I need to have it now. And I'm even that way, you know, like I was pissed you guys got the Beastman before me, because I'm like, I live in a big city. I should be getting stuff first. You guys live out in the middle of nowhere.
Hey, I'm in a big city too.
Everything melts there. That doesn't count.
yeah, it's a big change from where I used to live. Yeah,
it's not just He-Man that's subjected to this. I mean, look at PlayStation 5s and Xboxes. I mean, how long have they been bought by scalpers and put up on eBay for double, you know, what their retail is? I mean, it's a very normal thing. And, you know, I've been in the wireless industry for the majority of my life, and Apple has released their phones this way every year. They make a limited amount. They sell them right off the bat to build excitement, to drum up FOMO and hype, and then you know, people can't get them at first, and they start panicking and buying and paying crazy prices and buying whatever version they can get their hands on. I mean, it's you know, I'm a kid of the 80s. I remember Cabbage Patch Kids. That was what happened to them. I mean, you couldn't find them in stores, and you would end up paying hundreds of dollars for something that should have been, you know, under Furby's,
Tickle Me Elmo, all of that. It's,
yeah, all that.
Well, and even the eBay stuff. I mean, it all started with the Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Look how that worked out.
Babies. Dude, I've collected everything.
Yeah, my wife has a lot of those Beanie Babies. She actually got rid of a lot of them when we moved. So I had a lot of stuff I had to get rid of, too, when we moved. But I don't remember the guy's name from Mattel with the Masters of the Universe jacket. But when he says that these exclusives are something that you are proud to own, that it's something unique, or whatever he was saying, you know, something special, how the F is Grizzlor special when he's just a regular fucking figure? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's just regular carded figure. That's
just what because
I said.
The card is
trifold.
Yeah, the card is special. Who gives a shit? People want the figure. They're probably going to rip it open anyway. You know, we already had the variant figure of him, and I can understand that. You know, with the other troopers and the Blue Hordak, that's different. Those are variants. Why is Grizzlor? It's weird. I don't get that. I can see Wundar being that because it's kind of a goofy, stupid figure in a way, a dumb name. But it is. It's stupid. I don't like it. It's dumb. Yeah. It makes no sense. Wundar. It's dumb.
Wundar bread.
Put to the point, I don't like a lot of the classics names. I don't go by that. I think they're freaking horse shit. You know, Beastman to me is Beastman, not that Raul blah, 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 or whatever the hell they call him. You know, Zodak. I don't care about that stupid shit. But anyway, I'm sorry. That's a little rant. But it is mind blowing. I mean, I wish to be, you know, these guys who want to be completists. I understand that completely. I was that way. I used to work at Toys R Us when I was younger. And I remember, like you were saying earlier about the Chase figures. My God, I would have all these ladies come up with their little kids, and I understood it because that's how I was when I was little. We didn't have the Chase figures. We just wanted to find a figure. I mean, I was looking for Trap Job for a long time when I was younger, and I couldn't get it for Christmas. My mom told me that she couldn't find it, so I had to trade my 12-inch Darth Vader for it. I mean, the vintage 12-inch Darth Vader, and I got it. So I was happy with that. He's always been my favorite character. But, you know, and you got these Chase figures, man. I used to have to go in the back, open up all these boxes, and look through them because you don't know which one it's in. And then, you know, I had to find it. And it was like Gambit was on the X-Men. I had to find Gambit for everybody. I mean, I'm talking, this is like 93, I think. So, and then the stupid Ninja Turtle. I hate Ninja Turtles. I'm letting that out because of this stuff. I'm older. My birthday will be in a week from here when we're recording, you know, and I'll be 49. But in 93, when those turtles were still hitting it, and my son has all of them, I need this one. I was like, I go back there and try to find it for him. I tell him, no, you got to go back there again. It was like, nope, we don't have it. But like the Chase thing, that I don't know if that is a good way of going, because you're going to have everybody driving all over the place, spending all this gas money and everything when they could have just bought it on, you know, a website and saved all that. You know, yeah, you're paying shipping, but how much are you paying driving around and all that time you're spending for no reason? Unless you're really into that hunt, but that becomes a whole nother story.
Well, and I think, would you rather buy from Big Bad Toy Store or Amazon, or would you rather actually be able to go to the store and buy them, though?
I'd rather go to the store and buy them because it's the thrill of finding it, and it's seeing it because it's like you're a kid. You know, we're all kids, you know, and we're all in our 40s, but we still, you know, in our hearts, we're 10, you know. I love going in there. Like that time when the Origins finally came out, it's been almost 2 years now in August. But when I finally found them, after a couple weeks, they were supposed to be out. And then, you know, I saw the big display. It had a big cardboard box, and it had Masters of the Universe all in, and all these figures are all tucked in there. And I saw them all on the rack. I was like, man, this is great. They said there was going to be enough product. Man, there's, you know, 15 He-Mans. There's 20 Man-at-Arms. There's 20 Beastmen. I was like, this is awesome. And then after that, nothing. I know.
So did they have those big display for everybody? I didn't see them.
I don't know if they did, but it only lasted
each at our store.
Yeah, it only lasted a couple days. And I remember going there, and then I was like, I wanted this. And this is me. I went there. I bought one of each. I came home because I didn't want to buy them all. You know, I didn't want to buy a couple of each because I wanted other people to get them. You know, that's how I am. And I sent my son. I was like, hey, you know, son, go over to Walmart and grab me another Beast Man and another Man at Arms because those are my, you know, third and second favorite characters. And he went in there and got him. So I went back a couple days later after I saw that display, and that display was gone. So I don't know why it was there and gone really fast, but I took a picture of it. So that was nice, but they were gone.
I think it was, again, it's this collector mentality. So when we're not going to go down this rabbit hole because I know we'll go down it, but it's like when Revelations came out and like FYE had that big giant He-Man standee, like we actually have an FYE here, and I went there and I asked them, they're like, oh, we're not sure what we're going to do with it, but we've had like seven people come in and offer over $300 for it. And I'm like, for a piece of cardboard? And I'm sure, I mean, when the Revelation figures came out, people were buying or asking Walmart for those display stands. And they were like, look what I got this. Like, again, it's, I think, probably what happened is somebody asked one of the retailer workers, can I have this display? Because I want to be the only one that has something like this. And, you know, they've got to feel that certain way.
Well, it's good for them, though.
I never got to see it in the store. I never even got to see it in the store. My Walmart never had it. It was never on an end cap. We had a few figures on pegs, random places in the toy aisle. I would come home and I would launch Twitter, and there would be another person like, oh man, look, I went to Walmart and I took this display. And I'm like, you denied other people getting to see that. Yeah. Like, it was very,
especially kids. Cause one of the things that still makes me happy though is going in and seeing kids being excited for these toys. I mean, I have gone into Walmart a few times and seen kids like running up and asking their mom or, you know, mom or dad or grandma or whatever to buy a He-Man, to buy a Skeletor, you know, both the Origins and the, you know, Revelations. And it's, I don't know, it just warms my heart seeing that instead of seeing us greedy old men going after them.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like, yeah, that's what I like the best, to see the kids' eyes light up. That's what it's all about. I mean, we can all sit there, we can all be grumpy old men and, oh, I didn't get this figure and all this other stuff. But that's what it's for, is, you know, to get the kids excited. But, you know, I don't know how many kids, I love seeing people posting on Twitter, their kids playing the toys. I mean, that's fantastic. Cause I know what it was like, you know, when we were young, playing with toys and stuff. We didn't, you know, I had Atari and stuff, you know, I don't want to get down to the video games and all that crap, but it's fun to see that. But
yeah, it really hits different because, I mean, again, us growing up in the 80s or, you know, some people 90s, whatever it is, like, it's just a different way of growing up. I mean, I remember we had NES. That was the first real platform that came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, we played it a lot, but like at the same time, I remember my dad made us nunchucks out of a dowel rod, the metal eyelets and metal chain. And we were out running around like swinging it. And like, I don't know how many times we got hurt. And, like, you know, I sit here and, like, my son's like, oh, I got a splinter. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, we climbing up and down trees, like, bark sticking out of our arms. And so it is, again, I think, you know, Bobby, going back to your point about, you know, driving around, going stuff. I do that on the weekends. And the reason I do it is because during the week I work from home and I don't get out, like, right, really much. And so Sunday, usually it's either Saturday or Sunday, we'll spend a whole day, we'll drive around, and my son loves it because he'll run in, he'll look at the toys, he'll be like, oh, you know, like this weekend, he saw that I had the Savage He-Man and Orko, and he's wanted that for so long, and, like, you know, he's been saving his money, and it was, like, on sale for, like, $10, so he's like, he got it, and then he got Teela today, like, from Revelations, and he's like, these are the best figures ever, and so seeing that and him not wanting to be like, can I go play PlayStation or Switch or Minecraft or whatever, you know, warms my heart. Now, I limit that stuff, but at the same time, I want him to use his imagination. And I think so many kids lose that in today's day and age. And I think that's what the magic of action figures, whether it's Motu or McFarlane or whoever, whatever you're into, your kid is into, like, getting that and having them use that imagination to play is what, you know, really does it. And again, kind of back to that exclusive, if a kid really wants something, you know, if it's Grizzlor, you know, who is a staple character, and, you know, they fall in love with that character and watching the old shows, or because he wasn't in Revelation, so he wasn't in there, so they don't really know him yet, but you're missing out on a demographic. And, you know, I know so many companies aim for those older collectors, because they are the ones that are like, I need this, because they don't want to miss out. But you, again, you're alienating another demographic of kids who may want something that you're now limiting and not making it available. So, you know, when you have a company who, all companies want to make money, I mean, that's what a company's for. But at the same time, like, you know, you need to look at what you are doing to your patrons, and, you know, by alienating them, and you just really, it really, really, really sucks. But again, they don't pay me the big bucks to make those decisions, but that's my two cents.
I mean, even like today, you know, with my kids, we were watching Revelations, and every character that comes across, if, you know, my kids know that we don't have it, they ask me if I have it, because they know I have a supply, because I make them earn the toys. But you know, they saw Wundar on there and they're like, do we have that one, Daddy? And I'm like, no, we don't. You know, because of the way that these things are being released, that's just the reality, is we're not going to be able to get those.
That's tough.
I don't want Motu to die with my generation. Like, I want future generations to embrace this toy that's meant so much to me my entire life. I want kids to be able to go into the store and purchase this and, like you said, Ryan, have it, their imaginations run wild with it and continue this brand. And I want it to grow and evolve. And if this brand becomes only purchasing through a website and you have to be there within 3 seconds, it's not going to do that. There has to be an availability aspect of it. You know, you can look back, and He-Man was the first toy brand to, like, really blow up and be a $1 billion toy brand. That's not going to happen if it's all trapped behind scalper paywalls and bots are buying the product. It's not going to be that again.
Yeah,
but again,
I was going to say, if they go with what he was saying, the Mattel guy, if it's going to be something special, like he keeps saying, it's going to be special. You're going to have something special. You're going to love it because of that. Make it special, not just the card art on the rear. That's going to make it special. That it comes in a brown box. That's not special to me. That's just, it's an exclusive, but it's in a website exclusive. And the reason why you get that website exclusive is because it comes in that box and the card art. That's different. Then release it as a regular figure then, too, on a separate card. At least this way you could say, yeah, I got this special Grizzlor. This one's fantastic. The other one I get at the store, I'm going to rip open and play with it or whatever, you know, as long as we know it's coming. But it's not.
Yeah, just like they did with Sunman.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. One of the best things they did with Sunman is I got the exclusive one. I got to sit in my office at work, which is great. But then I was still able to get the carded one, you know, of course, by buying it online because we never saw it in the stores. But, you know, I ordered it during Black History Month and, you know, got it 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. That's what I'm talking about. Is, you know, because I didn't go for the Sunman one because I knew they were going to have a retail release, and I didn't care about the card or nothing like that. If it was on its own, and I knew that they were going to come out with the Sunman, I would have tried for it. But since I knew there was a retail release, I didn't mind missing that one because I don't like I said, I don't have to have everything like I used to. And I'll tell you, when I used to be like that, it would drive me nuts. And it made collecting crazy, you know. I mean, I even seen it where I was walking in the store one time, and this kid was looking at a toy, and it was a rare figure to find. It was for Star Wars. And the little boy was looking at it, and this guy was hovering around, you know, around us. And I'm waiting for the kid to put it down, because if the kid put it down, I would have grabbed it. But I was waiting to see if he took it. I was fine with that. But the guy actually took the figure out of the kid's hand and left. And that soured me for, I don't know, say about 6 years. And I never collected. That was a Star Wars figure. I never collected Star Wars since. And that's been, crap, 20-something years already. So it's, yeah. But if you make, like you were saying with the Sunman, if you had it with a special card and you know, like vac metal or whatever, or if he's going to have a vac metal, you know, chest brace or whatever, that's different. And then you can release them in store as a regular figure. No one would be bitching right now about Grizzlor. I guarantee you that. But now when you're taking a core character, putting him on a stupid fancy backing card and calling it an exclusive, and he's not going to be shipped in stores, a core character like that after we already had a variant, that to me,
and they did that with the Horde Troopers too. I mean, they were part of that multi-pack, and then they released them kind of in stores because they've never made it to the stores.
Right, but we were still able.
They're at least available online.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know,
and I think.
Go ahead.
No, I just said, you know, I think, you know, the statement that was said of like, oh, you have this figure and it'll be special to you, like. No, because I'm going to buy it from a scalper and I'm going to be pissed that I paid $80 for a $20 figure and now I'm mad that I didn't get it.
Please, people, don't buy from scalpers. Yeah. It's not worth it. You're not going to be considered any less of a collector. I just want to put that out. You're not going to be, no one's going to come to your house and say, oh, you don't have this figure. You're not a He-Man fan. You know, fuck that. I
can do that if you guys want me to. Just pay me $5 and I'll fly out there and I'll tell you you're not a He-Man.
Yeah, I'll pay you $5. You're going to spend how much? Like $300 or a flight?
No, you have to pay for my flight too.
No, I ain't paying the front for a flight.
No, but you could wait. You could wait, you know, 5 years from now if you really want to complete it, and the price is going to be down.
Yeah, exactly.
If none of us bought them.
Right. Yeah, because they're going to want to get rid of it. They don't want it sitting around their house. They want to make their money back. So, yeah. But
that is a perfect example. You know, it's. Last night I was like, I honestly haven't looked at MOTU figures on eBay in, I don't know, probably a year. Like, when Revelation came out, I was like, oh, I need to get some of the 20X, you know, 2000X, and I need this. And, like, now I went and I was like, oh, my God, these are, like, so much cheaper. I was like, I wish I would have waited. So, yeah, 100%. I agree with that. Like, you know, give it time. But, again, at the same point, you know, the less of there is of something, the less chance that there may be something on down the road, so it may get more expensive. So,
but with the amount of Wundars that are on there, and amount of two packs that are already on there, even though nobody has them in hand, you know, if nobody buys those, the price is going to drop.
Yeah, and there's also a fear that, well, it's going to sell out on eBay too, and no one's ever going to sell them again. That's not right. Some people buy it and they'll sit on it for years and then sell it for later. You're always going to find something online, no matter what. Or, you know, it's a He-Man collector, and they have to make room and say, hey, this guy was worth something back then. I'll try to get something for him. You know, you're always going to end up finding it. It's just don't spend your hard-earned money.
And that's different than buying it from another collector, though, that is just charging you, like, shipping and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, that's perfect. Yeah,
because, you know, like I've already said, you know, we'll sometimes buy for each other just in case. But if then it works out that everybody got them, you end up with an extra one, you just sell it to whoever did miss out. Works out okay.
And that's fine. Say it's a collector, say like one of us bought, you know, five of them, and you want to sell it, and say the total cost you to purchase the one is $20, you know, with shipping and everything. you sell it on eBay for $25. That pays for your gas to go back and forth to the mailbox, you know, packing material and all that. That doesn't bother me. But when you sit there and jack it up for $200 more than what it's worth, just because it's a hot item at the point, and you know everybody's going to freak out, and especially bidding, if you're bidding on those, and if bidding already starts at $200 and you're going to bid and you got other people bidding, then it just goes up and up. That is, I don't understand that.
That's what I don't understand either, is like, I will sit on there and look, and there will be whatever, I'm just going to say $1 figure, and it is being bid up, and it's 26 bids, and it's, again, arbitrary number, I don't know if it's true, but like, let's say it's $200, and then five listings down, there's one that you can buy it now for $100. It's like, what makes this other one that has 26 bids and it's $200 different than this one that's $100 for buy it now? And I'm like, do people just think by bidding it makes it more of a collector's item?
I think it could be like an addiction type of thing as well. You know, you just love that rush of winning something, you know? I mean, I don't know. But it's
that's it's, why it, I like buy it now, man. I don't
bid on anything unless it's like a high priced item, which is not like a scalper thing. But I mean, if it's like an old vintage thing that I didn't have an old vintage thing, I would, you know, go with the bidding versus the buy it now type of thing. But yeah, it all depends on conditions as well.
I think some of that though is people having other people bid on their stuff to make it more, you know, they think, oh, I'm not going to get enough out of this as I want. I'm going to reach out to my buddy and have him bid higher. And you know, if he's the one that ends up buying it, then, you know, we'll work the money back out. You know, I think a lot of it is that. But going back to what we were talking about with the differences, I think another great example that I have personally is the original exclusive She-Ra had rooted hair. She came in a box with a special trifold flip out, and then they made a retail release. So in addition to Sun Man, they did it with She-Ra.
Right. Yep.
So there is precedence with this company to do that with Grizzlore.
Yeah. I'm hoping they heard the roar, so to speak. I mean, it was even trending on Twitter. You know, I know a lot of stuff is, you know, geared towards whatever you're following and all that crap. But I mean, to see it trending, I thought that was fantastic, because when I was watching that live stream and, you know, I saw a bunch of comments, ask about the Grizzlore, why is it, you know, this and this. So the guy finally did at the end, when everybody was leaving, he went up to him and he asked about Grizzlore, and said that it's only online exclusive. That was, it was sickening to hear.
I just looked it up because I was curious, but you know, the petition's up to 735 signatures. So, you know,
how much does it have to be made to can be considered a thing?
Well, the first cutoff was like 500, so the next is 1,000. You know, because it just keeps going up, trying to get more and more.
Yep.
I'm really thankful that Eternia is crowdfunded and not this mess, because I don't think I could
for $2,000.
Yeah.
But do you think something that is that expensive? Do you think? I mean, look at the mega constructs, the Snake Mountain. It's like 321, and it's still up. Like, I mean, it could very well be. But if you have something that's like, let's just say it's $500 or whatever, like, do you think it's going to sell out? Because like, I would even like second guess myself of going like, do I really need that? Where the hell am I going to put it?
I think if you're a Motu fan, this is the toy, though.
Yep.
Like, this was the toy that we all wish we had gotten. We couldn't afford at the time. Now we have adult money. I mean, I just feel like if you collect He-Man at all, this is the piece that you want, is the Eternia. And so, yeah, I feel like, and especially scalpers are going to think, oh my gosh, you know, this toy in box from the 80s is $4,000. If I can buy one of these, you know, for $500 and sell it for $1,000, you know, I still want a Classics Grayskull, and I'll never own one because the last time I looked, they were $2,000. I wish I'd somehow got the money when it was $600, because that's when I started looking at them. They were $600, and now they're up to $2,000. I'll never have one. Yeah. So I think scalpers are going to think, oh, they're going to pay insane amounts of money for this Eternia, so we're going to buy them up. And so I'm really glad it's crowdfunded and I don't have to stress about that anymore.
Well, the next question though is, how long is it going to be up? crowdfunding for the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, right?
That's well, I think like even Hasbro's done that for like the Sentinel and a couple other things. And I mean, I think it's 30 days that they leave it up. I mean, because it's an astronomical amount. I mean, either it's money or number of people. I think it's money. But then they do stretch goals. And I am all for that. Like, do it like Kickstarter, you know, like say, hey, I need $100,000 to do this. And anything over, we'll start doing little stretch goals, like 100%. And maybe that's what they'll do. And maybe that's why there are so many figures in there that they're going to be like, once we hit 1.5, we get this figure. You can get this figure. Like, then that will definitely make it worth it.
Yeah.
If that's the only way that I get Mechaneck, I'm going to be pissed.
No, they said that Mechaneck was supposed to come out with Road Ripper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, but if that's one of the stretch goals.
Goal is being a stretch goal. I can see that. Definitely.
I could see, like, what's his name? King Grayskull. Part of that,
yeah. he'll be a stretch goal for sure.
Yep, one tower, two tower.
We're also hoping that they're going to do stretch goals, though. What if they just crowdfund it? Say it's going to be up for 24 hours. Whoever orders it gets it. Whoever, you know.
I mean, I would be fine with that. You know, I love the Mondo release format. It's like Ryan said. You know, he got his He-Man. It was $260. He had 48 hours to order it, and now it's his, and he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and that's how I like it too. I think that's how it should go. Like when I ordered my,
though, that's not crowdfunding. Though.
No, I think it'll be a typical crowdfunding where they'll say like, okay, it's going to be $500. We need X number of these sold before we'll make them, and if we go over by X amount, then you get other stuff.
Yeah, and the good thing with that though is if you got to think too. And they give you that price or whatever, however it works. I never did a crowdfund, but it gives you a couple of days to think about if you really want to do it or not. You know, if it's within, you know, next, you know, 12 hours, next 24 hours, that's pretty quick pressure of saying, do I really want to spend $600-$700 on this thing? You know, and so I've heard some guys want like three of them. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of cash.
That's a big house.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they crowdfunded, I'm obsessed with Mandalorian. They crowdfunded his ship, the Razor Crest, and, when they hit certain tiers, they got different things, and you got this figure at this level, you got this ship piece for this level, and so on and on and on, and they went well above and beyond their goal, and it's a huge piece. It's designed for the 3.75 figure line. It's a huge piece, and it was very expensive, and it worked. So I'm saying,
so here's what they're going to do. You get the middle piece of Eternia, and then you get one monorail. And then you don't get the stretch goals. You only get like three.
Should have broken it into three towers. That would have been smart.
Well, that's what I'm worried about is, you know, not enough people get it. So you get like two towers and a half of the rail.
Well, I'm sure they've got a thing where it's got to be at least some kind of completeness, you know.
Yeah, or worse, not enough people order it.
It's possible, and it might die. You don't know. I know a lot of people are excited about it, though, especially because that's one of the most expensive. That is the expensive Motu item for vintage, and well, I don't.
Does anybody know how much was it back then? You know, back in the 80s.
Okay, so I've been Googling that because I've been playing with the inflation calculator. And I've reached out to some of the people that we contact on Twitter. I'm finding two different prices. One says that the original price was $140 back in 80s money. And another one says that it was $90. So it seems to be that it launched around $140 and then dropped to $90, which would put it, with today's inflation, anywhere from $350 to $250 in current day costs.
Yeah, I just Googled it. It says, it was released in 86 at the end of the He-Man's popularity. Eternia was the largest playset ever to be produced. It has an expensive retail price of $89.99.
Yeah, I vividly remember standing in the store looking at that box. My parents had left me standing there while they shopped through the store, and I was just standing there. They came back, and here I'm standing, like hands pressed against the box. Tears running down my face, and because I knew that like my parents didn't have that kind of money, and my mom was like, I'm so sorry. I would love to get this for you, but like we just can't afford it. It's too much. And so I've always thought that'll be the closest I'll ever get. And now knowing that there's a chance I might actually have one in my house, even if I have to clear the dining room table off and that's where it lives, I'm going to get one, but, it's going to be interesting to see. They've already said it's going to be very expensive. So I'm anxious to see what very expensive is to them.
Right. Exactly.
That's what made me worried.
Yeah.
What's expensive to you though for that? I mean,
what I was going to ask. What is your I'm not buying it at this price breaking point?
Yeah. Well, I did just drop $321 for the Mega Construct Snake Mountain, which was a very hard pill to swallow. So I don't know, because of the FOMO of the Classics Grayskull, I'm afraid Eternia is going to get the best of me, and I'm probably going to spend a stupid amount of money. unless somebody slaps some sense into me.
Well, you talk to us every day, so we'll keep you straight.
Yeah, because we're the best of influence.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead and get it. No, don't get it. Yeah, go ahead and get it. Yeah, no, back and forth.
But it comes with those extra 12 figures. It's worth it.
Yeah. Oh man, did you see what they came with? That little Manta guy. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mega Constructs line is the only He-Man line that I literally have everything for. I'm not missing anything, and that ties into the completionist that Bobby was talking about.
Yep.
And so when Snake Mountain dropped, I was like, that's insane. I'm not going to pay that. And then I was like, of course I'm going to pay that. Of course I am, because I want to have all of it. This is the
I'll
only
tell
thing
you,
I can have all of it.
I'll tell you one thing. Everybody wants to be a completist. I understand that. There's always going to be that one item. I don't care if it's super expensive or it's just really, really rare. You will not have it. And that's okay.
I haven't hit that yet with the Mega Constructs.
You and have with Origins. So. You don't have a Wundar.
No, of Mega Construct.
Oh, Mega, right. I get that. But I'm saying maybe someday down the road, there might be something you might have even not even seen. You know what I mean? I mean, it's possible. But that's what I was trying to say. It's okay not to have something. You know, we all have to live, too. You know, if you're going to go broke because you have to have every single toy, then that's just not a smart thing to do. But it's I know I've been there, so it's crazy.
I do want to say though, I'm still surprised. We're talking about the Eternia set. I'm still surprised that's coming out though before Snake Mountain.
I was telling this to somebody on Twitter before. I kind of am not, because they've been teasing it on the card art for a while now. You've been seeing you know pieces here and there of Eternia. You know,
but you see Snake Mountain on there too though.
I don't remember which figure would have that one on there. I don't recall.
I know it's on. I know it's on there. But I don't have any of my backings by me.
Yeah.
It was Ryan.
I'll go through all the cards. Hold on.
Look at this nerd. Going on the cards.
Snake Mountain is so obvious that, and Eternia was such a surprise.
I got that
direction.
Yep.
None of us would have been surprised with the Snake Mountain reveal.
No, and it's because it's the 40th anniversary, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the first time back at San Diego Comic-Con for how many years. They dropped out of PowerCon. So they're going to splash this stuff, make it a big, you know, like, holy crap, they're here for real, you know? So when they go and pull out that Eternia set, that's made a lot of noise. A lot of people.
Maybe there's a shortage of microphones too, and they couldn't finish them.
That's what my son said this weekend. He played with my vintage Snake Mountain. He's like, "This doesn't work. I want one that works." And I'm like, "You're lucky you have a vintage one."
Does it really not work, or is it just work as well as it did back then?
Well, I don't think it has batteries in it, so I haven't even tried if it actually does work. So I was like, maybe it just needs batteries, but he doesn't need it because that's all I'm going to hear is, and I'm like, oh my God.
It'll wake you up with that in the morning.
Yeah.
Get up. The Skeletor.
And from my childhood, and it does not work.
Yeah, my friend had it when I was younger.
I had it. I loved it.
I loved it. I used it to death.
So it looks like there are only two cards that have Eternia and Snake Mountain on it. So the one is the Flying Fist. It has Eternia. And then it's the Terror Claw has the Snake Mountain. But, I mean, that's everything that I've had so far. Those are the only two that are on there. Surprising.
I mean, they were teased at the same time.
They can, they can announce it again later. They can. I mean, since Eternia is, let me point this out. If Eternia is the crowdfunded one on Mattel Creations, they can say on these new Motu Tuesdays going up to He-Man's birthday in October that they said maybe that day of his birthday in that October, they're gonna say, guess what, everybody, here's your Snake Mountain coming out for Christmas.
Yep. That'd be fantastic.
I mean, it's possible. Was
being teased on Tuesday of this week.
As long as it's not, as long as it's not an exclusive that's sold out in 30 seconds.
That's why I said if someone was mentioned that they were afraid it was going to be an exclusive. It's like if it was an exclusive, all hell would break loose because everybody wants a Snake Mountain. I have one right there. I don't need an Origins one. But they'll probably come out with something like Skeletor's Skelecons, you know, or something with it, you know, to make it special, just like they did with Grayskull with the white version of Sorceress.
Yeah, because I lost all my stuff most of my stuff when I went to the Army. So, you know, my kids now, you know, my youngest, for his birthday in May, he wants to have a Skeletor birthday party is what he's saying. So I'm like, I really want Snake Mountain.
That's awesome. Well, Ryan can send you his.
For the
day. He's closer to you.
Actually, I just went to a toy store today, a secondhand store, and they had one for, I think it was 50, but it didn't have any of the inside stuff, but it had everything. I mean, it had the microphone and all the outside stuff, but.
Yeah, there's not much inside.
No inside stuff, Ryan.
It's just a net.
Yeah.
There is no.
True.
It comes with a ladder and the bridge. And then you got the shackles, and that's pretty much it.
That's all out.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Snake Mountain some other day, I think. Because I know Rhino wants to sit there and bitch about that one.
Yeah. I'm ready. I have my PowerPoint presentation ready.
Okay. I see where you're going. I'm gonna have to get really really pumped up for that one. Because that's I'll argue vintage to the day I die. I know a lot of people love the new stuff. I like the new stuff. I like classics. I like it all. But to me, vintage toys, like I say, vintage is personal to me because that's what I grew up with. And that's what made me happy with the toys. So when I look at a vintage figure and I look at something new, I can toss the new one into the garbage and keep the vintage. Even if the vintage was beat up to hell, I would still keep it because to me, that's more special.
Also, they're more durable.
Yeah. Well, they were made to play with.
Aside from the rubber bands.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're
but at the time it was good because they didn't rot real fast. So I got all my vintage figures are still perfect. They don't have any problems with their legs. It all depends on how they're stored and kept, you know, over the years.
Even the ones that I do have, though, you know, I only have a couple that have bad rubber legs.
Yeah.
You know, the rest are actually fine, and those were never stored well. So.
Well, I mean, if you have like a sub basement or something that's real moist, you know, somewhere like that, that'll probably, you know, do it. But it depends. But yeah, it's, I think this has been good discussion so far.
So I think the takeaway is, don't buy from scalpers. don't be a completionist. If you want to, that's fine. You don't have to be a completionist. It doesn't define who you are as a collector.
But give it time. Give it time because the prices will come down.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Don't feed into that hysteria that these scalpers want you to because, like I said, you'll buy it now for $200. You know, a year from now, it'll be $30 because no one is buying it. If people would do that, I think that would help scalper. I mean, I could be naive and stupid about this. I don't know. But it's just, that always upsets me. But the Grizzlore, that's a bummer. That's actually making me get out of collecting Origins. I think I'm going to stick with just new Eternia figures. Because I like that concept art type stuff, and it's fresh and new. So we'll see. I don't know yet. I know me. I got the collector brain where it goes on and off. You know, all of a sudden I get excited again about it. You know, be like, hey, I got to get this again. You know, but well.
Back to the SDCC stuff. I'm super excited to get the green skeletons, the ones that were featured on the Castle Grayskull box art.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about those. Of course, super excited about Snake Armor He-Man. Super pumped about Thunder Punch He-Man. There better be a Dragon Blaster Skeletor somewhere.
I'm sure that's still surprised that wasn't seen.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's not coming.
That could be one of the Tuesday things.
It could be. They said that there's going to be more reveals, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll get a weapons pack.
I mean, we had a lot of phenomenal reveals from SDCC. A lot of great stuff. Mechanic, Road Ripper, just tons of really, really good stuff.
Fake Bend, everybody's excited about.
Yeah, none of us expected that many things to be on display there.
No, I was actually blown. I mean, I know a lot of this, I was getting like kind of panicky. I mean, a lot of that stuff was going on so fast. Twitter was exploding for me, and it was just, I couldn't keep up with it. And it was just all these things coming through. And I'm like, man, this is coming out. This is coming out. Like, they got this. Holy crap, Eternia. That was before I even knew it was going to be crowdfunded. So I'm racking up. I'm like, I wrote everything down. I'm like, this figure. I was like, holy crap, we're up to like 20 figures. I'm like, this better be spread out to at least next spring, because there's no way I'm going to get it all by Christmas. There's just no way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was overwhelming.
Figures that were released last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the mini comic Trap Jaw, we still don't have that.
Right. That's scaring me because I really want that, and I'm afraid that's going to be an exclusive.
One. Yeah, I mean, there's still figures that they've shown us that we still don't have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Randor.
Well, he's coming out, though.
Yeah, he popped up on Amazon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what's weird is, like... With the Origins line, again, I know we're kind of derailing off of the ScalperCon, but, you know, as we kind of wrap up here, like, you know, with the Origins line, like, I get it, but, like, how about we get everything first that's from Vintage, and then do the 2000X version, and the New Adventures version, and, you know, whatever, because I feel we're going down this, like, path of not getting everything, and they're trying to just like, hey, we can pass on this figure because nobody's going to notice. But there's so many people that want those that didn't have them growing up, or they're hard to find, or, you know, I live in a big enough city that I'm able to have multiple secondhand stores that people trade stuff in. So, you know, I found my Zodak today, the great heroic warrior of Eternia.
Evil.
Don't open that door.
But, you know, I mean, I found him today, and like, he was in like pristine condition. It was like $20 for him. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to grab this, you know? So I feel like that, I again, I'm not the CEO. I don't know what they're going on, but like, make that, like, finish those lines out, then do Princess of Power, and then go in to say, hey, we're going to make this and this and this. But
I don't know about that. I think because there's fans spread out. I mean, they're not all my age, you know? You know, I'm the old guy, but you got guys who probably seen He-Man the first time through 2000X, and they're really excited about getting those. They don't appeal to me, because I already had the 2000X figures that came out for that cartoon, and they look so close to the cartoon. I don't care about an Origins figure for them. But you have a lot of fans who I love that cartoon. The cartoon's fabulous. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are excited about those. So I think they're trying to... I know they asked the question at Comic-Con, or not Comic... Yeah, the Comic-Con, if they're going to have any Princess of Power stuff in Origins. And they said that they're thinking about it, they're listening to the fan, you know, the same bullshit, and they'll consider it. So I don't see that. It's going to be more that Masterverse Princess of Power version, I think. I don't think they'll have that. I know there's a lot of people I would even like to see. I only own She-Ra from Vintage. I don't have any other She-Ra Vintage stuff. But I would like to have seen. I thought they would at least make like the Filmation versions of them into Origins. That would have been cool.
When they came out with She-Ra and Hordak, I got excited that they were going to make all those.
Well, Horde Axe is a regular, but yeah, he is the villain in the cartoon, yeah. But yeah, I was kind of thinking that at least Catra,
exactly.
Or I was excited. I was thinking, well, if they would have made like a Scorpia, you know, or a Shadow Weaver, you know, characters like that instead, you know, that would have been great. But they said they haven't really. I don't think they're putting She-Ra stuff out, to tell you the truth.
Which makes no sense because she's so hard to find. So obviously, people bought her. Yep. And collected. Mm-hmm. And the original Princess of Power line was so different from the cartoon. Right. I get in Masterverse that we're going to get the Filmation versions, and that's fine because I don't hate the Filmation versions. It's just I really wanted more of the actual Princess of Power figures, and really wanted more of the mini comic. Accurate She-Ra. Like, I got so excited the other day because when they showed the Grizzlar box art, the She-Ra that's on the box art is the mini comic She-Ra, the version that she turns into in the mini comic. So I was hoping that we would be getting more of that stuff. I don't understand the thought behind that.
I mean, these things we're talking about here, though, are a few episodes away. You know, we have a lot more things that we're bringing up that we can talk about here.
Yeah. Yeah, so
we're given a little smorgasbord of upcoming future.
We're problems. Old. Our brains don't function on our one-track mind anymore. We derail. So that's what you're going to get in this podcast. So please follow along. We are crazy. We are psycho, but we have fun. And that's what this podcast is about:
is to bring the fans, closer into. We're going to focus more on collecting. The figures and everything, like I said in the beginning. So it'll be, different than others. Let me put it that way, because I like what the others are doing. I don't want to copy that. So we're going to go with collecting. That's why we call ourselves the Collectors of Power. So,
well, and I bring it up so hopefully people can leave us some comments so we remember, because we'll probably forget.
Oh, I got it down. It's in my head.
That brings up a great point, as we kind of transition here towards the end here, please reach out. I think all of us are on Twitter. I think we can all give our handles here towards the end.
I got them on the screen. You can see them.
Okay. So there you go. But again, I think that goes back to, we talked earlier about, building that community. I know on Twitter, if you're on Twitter at all, they have the Collectors Helping Collectors, the CHC, please reach out to us, follow our podcast, follow all of us. We are all always engaging. Bobby puts up his awesome vintage stuff and I get really pissed when he has stuff that I don't have and he did so much better than
mine.
I'm not a good collector because
I'm just putting it out there for information and showing the best possible figure you can have. And I'm not trying to make it look like I got the best stuff, which I do, but it's
I'll start posting mine so you can see the worst ones you can have.
Hey, I got a couple. I've shown you guys my Stratos from my childhood. The legs are hanging out like they're just dangling,
Well, you saw mine. It has one arm.
Yeah. My trap jaw's got like it looks like he's blushing because all the green is cracked off and you can see all the purple underneath his helmet.
Yeah, at least his tongue's not sticking out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's I got him. I have to have him, but that tongue thing, I made sure that jaw is so tight up on him that you can't see that stupid thing. It's like a piece of liver hanging out. It's
weird. And just get a file and file it down.
I'll just paint it black.
Yeah.
But again, guys, as we wind up here, just reach out. We're here. We love to chat. We all have our opinions, and so nothing we say is Bible or whatever you want to call it. Nope. The books. We all have our own opinions. Everybody has, Rhino and I differ on Revelations, but you know what? We're still great friends and we still love to chat about it. And I like to tell him how good it is and he's wrong, but we still laugh about it. So,
That's the same thing with me and Rhino. We just like to have healthy talks, really. Yeah, we like to talk about anything, but we're not going to bash anybody.
No, never. We're the nicest guys. We all met on Twitter. I would just want to say that you can meet friends on there and really strike up some good conversations with people. And we've only known each other for a year now. and it's been fantastic. We've been talking to each other almost every day, I think, for a year. And I don't think there's been a day we haven't chatted or text since. I think that's why we are, have a good chemistry here today. But it's like I said, I built that Twitter, my Twitter, for getting info out to people because I couldn't find nothing on Twitter, and I don't like a lot of the other platforms. So I was using that, and I was trying to, hey, when's this figure? What's figures coming out next? You know, does anybody know? And I wasn't seeing a lot of that, so I took it upon myself to do it. And you know, 2 years later, I'm doing pretty well on there so far, I believe. And a lot of people look up to me. It's a lot of pressure, but it's still a lot of fun. I love talking to people all over I never dreamed I would be talking to people all over the world, you know, about collecting He-Man. And it's
you never thought you'd have a friend in Nebraska, right?
No, never. But yeah, we all span all four time zones, you know, in this, yep. And it's awesome. So, but I know it's getting late by you guys. So I think we'll probably call this one an episode, our first episode.
If there's a topic that you want us to discuss, you can reach out on Twitter and let us know. If you're like, hey, I wish you guys would talk about this or bring this up, or how do you guys feel about that? Please bring that up. We're going to be posting these episodes on Twitter. We're going to post them on our YouTube channel. We're going to be looking through comments and seeing what you guys say. Seeing what ideas you bring to the table for us to discuss. So please react with us and get vocal, because there's 40 years worth of He-Man that we want to talk about, and we would love to share that with you all.
Yeah, and maybe in the future we'll do a question and answer podcast where you guys ask us questions, and we'll pick them off of Twitter and answer them. But yeah, reach out, like, subscribe, comment, you know, take the little bell icon so you get notified of new episodes. But yeah, we're here for you guys to just sit and chat, and you can listen to four crusty old men talk about pieces of plastic and half naked men. So.
Yeah. And we'll be posting every other Tuesday. So we're recording this on a Sunday prior. So it'll be starting on August 2nd. And then after that, every other Tuesday, we'll be having our podcast on YouTube, and we'll stream it on other platforms as well once we get that set up. But for now, we got it just on YouTube, maybe just this episode. And hopefully by the next episode, we'll be up and running on anywhere you get your podcasts. So anybody want to say anything else before we close out?
Just thank you for listening.
Yeah, we've had fun. I think this is going to be a lot of fun going forward. And hopefully we can get to that 100th episode where we tried to make a stupid video that really is really cheesy. And it's you just put yourself on mute, Ryan.
Sorry. Can we just make our 100th episode the really crappy intro video we made like a week ago?
I'll edit it to make it a little bit more fancy and a little bit more fun.
Bloopers. Those were priceless.
I tell you, it was. I was surprised I actually got the beginning intro decent today. It wasn't perfect, but.
Yeah,
that was rough that one day, man. Jeez, yeah, Mike. Hey guys. That's all gone. But anyway, yeah, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Battle guys. Armor He-Man is the best He-Man.